Before we start our meeting, I'll be calling a public hearing to order. This is a public hearing concerning the 2009 New York State Community Renewal Community Development Block Grant Program. People may speak to that program to the mic. We also have some staff here who may have a few words. I'm not sure if Gene, if you want to just summarize quickly, and then we'll have any public comment that people want to register.
Good evening, everybody. Tonight is our second public hearing for our application for the CDBG grant funding. This is the funding that supports our Tompkins County Home Ownership Program, which has been going on for about the past 15 years now. The program components are going to remain essentially the same as we're proposing them as to previous grant agreements. We have two modifications that we'd like to propose. The first is that in the past we've included a rehabilitation piece, so we've offered rehab funds to our homeowners. This year we'd actually like to, instead of rehab funds, have that funding go towards energy assistance funding for the homeowners who receive a home through the program, so that could be an option for them. We currently do energy audits with Tompkins Community Action, and so our hope is that we'd be able to continue that partnership and actually work with them on the energy assistance loans that would be available to them. The second piece is the way that the grant currently works. If you're between 75 and 80% of median income, it's a loan, a low-interest loan. If you're between 65 and 75%, it's half and half, so it's half loan and half grant. And if you're below 65%, it's a full grant. So what we would like to propose is for those folks that are above 65% of the median income, they would have the option of their home being part of a housing trust, so it would be deeded to the housing trust. If they choose that option, it would be, instead of a low-interest loan, it would actually be a grant. So it would help promote permanent affordability for housing here in Tompkins County. It's just a choice. It's just an option. They don't have to go that route if they choose not to. And then, of course, anyone who would be receiving a grant otherwise, if they also choose, for their home to be part of the housing trust, they would have that option as well. A resolution will be coming before you in late February, early March, to submit the application. And if you have any questions, comments at this time, I'd be happy to entertain them.
There's also a time for any public comment if people have come to speak to that grant process. If there are no questions and no public comment, I will close the public hearing and ask you to rise and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We have a roll call of members, please.
Mr. Randall?
Here.
Ms. Robertson?
Here.
Mr. Shinagawa?
Here.
Mr. Sigler?
Here.
Mr. Stevenson?
Present.
Mr. Burbank?
Here.
Ms. Chalk?
I'm here.
Mr. Dennis?
Here.
Mr. Hattery?
Here.
Ms. Herrera has asked to be excused. Ms. Keeper?
Present.
Ms. McAsee?
Here.
Mrs. McBean Claiborne has also asked to be excused. Mr. Proto?
Here.
Mr. Kaplink-Alaire?
Here.
13 members present.
We have no petitions and communications. We do have a proclamation, though, so I'll ask representatives from Learning Web and from Big Brother Big Sister to come on up while I read the proclamation. This is Mentoring Month in Tompkins County. The proclamation reads, whereas President Bush, President Obama, and General Colin Powell have led the nation in recognizing January 2009 as National Mentoring Month, whereas the youth of this county, state, and nation are our most precious resource and hope for the future, and all children deserve to have positive adults as mentors, role models, and guides on the path to achieving their full potential. And whereas research has shown that programs that rely on volunteer mentors can play a powerful role in reducing drug abuse and youth violence while greatly enhancing a young person's prospects for leading a healthy and productive life. And whereas The people of Tompkins County are compassionate and have a long-standing tradition of mentoring children in need. And whereas the Big Brother, Big Sister program of the Ithaca Youth Bureau and the Learning Web are two outstanding examples of programs receiving county and state support to recruit, screen, match, train, and support the mentors from all walks of life and careers that volunteer with over 675 young people each year. And whereas it is essential to recognize the valuable contributions of all dedicated mentors and the formal and informal programs that enable them to improve the quality of life of our community. Now, therefore, I, Michael Kuplinka-Lair, Chair of the Tompkins County Legislature, do hereby recognize January 2009 as Mentoring Month in Tompkins County. If Dale and Shanova from the Learning Web and Joe Gibson, I guess, and a mentor here from the Big Brother, Big Sister program. You want to say some brief words?
I'm usually long on brief words, so I'll try to be especially short for you. Thank you so very, very much. And thank you for your financial support over the years. It means more to the young people of this county than any of you can ever really, really know. Also, big thanks goes out, and I think that this proclamation speaks volumes on behalf of the county in thanking the hundreds, literally hundreds of volunteers who come forward every year to mentor young people, creating relationships that go well beyond that apprenticeship that the Learning Web has for them, and it means so much. And as Michael said, tonight with me is Shanova Moody, and Shanova has been an interesting participant at the Learning Web. She's participated in apprenticeships, and now she's even been a mentor for other youth, and I would thank her.
I guess I would just like to say, as someone who's been mentored to, it's very important to have someone there to talk to, someone to lead you in the right path, and I'm just happy that I'm able to give back. So thank you.
I'll just echo what my colleague said. Thank you so much for your support over the years. We're very, very grateful for all the support we've been given and that we will be given in the future. And thank you especially for this proclamation. I think it's an excellent way to recognize what the mentors in our community have done. They really are the unsung heroes of our community, working individually with children behind the scenes, and it's nice to get them in front of the camera sometimes for a little appreciation. And at the risk of embarrassing our prize mentor from Big Brothers Big Sisters, this is Molly Barger. She is our longest running mentor in the program, who's been with her little now volunteering her time for over 4 years, and that's above and beyond the call. And she's just one of, as Dale said, hundreds of mentors and other volunteers in our community that do right by our children every day. So thank you very much.
Just want to acknowledge, and actually on behalf of the Tompkins County Youth Services Department, I want to urge all community members, ourselves included, who have benefited from mentor in our lives, to participate on January 22nd. It's actually Thank You Mentor Day. This means you could have an opportunity to reach out, honor those individuals who have encouraged, guided you, had a lasting impact on your lives by contacting that mentor directly, expressing your appreciation. They passed on to us, you know, what we received, and we can become mentors to others as well. If you want to learn more about mentoring opportunities, to get more information about ways to thank your mentor, you can contact the Tompkins County Youth Services Department. Nancy's never missed an opportunity to say a few words, but maybe this is complete.
Cool. You've done it. You're wonderful. Thank you very much.
Thank you all.
Thank you.
We have no special orders of the day. Before we move into our privilege of the floor for the public, this is obviously a very historic day. It's really a defining historic moment in our nation's history, and I know that we'll all, you know, in some way want to wax philosophical. I'll ask us to try to keep our comments short, but it certainly is something that we want to take note of in our comments, and I'll ask you to be brief. So we do have a time of privilege of the floor for the public and then the legislators. I have one person who signed up via paper, but others can certainly speak if they'd like. Janice Kelly from Campbell Ave in Ithaca.
Washington over here. Thank you for the chance to make a few comments to the board. My name is Janice Kelly, and I live at 143 Campbell Avenue in the city of Ithaca. I'd like to say a couple of things about the recent county board process for selection of vice chair of the board. As a Republican involved in outreach to many different groups in this area, I'd like to thank you. The cheerful willingness of so many Democrats on this board to throw overboard a public servant like Leslyn McBean Claiborne makes my job much easier. Deeds matter more than words, and your willingness to treat Ms. McBean Claiborne in this dismissive and insulting way is very revealing. It reveals that your commitment to diversity and good government lasts only so long as a dedicated, experienced, respected African-American woman does not become an obstacle in the path of an ambitious white Democrat. As a partisan, I thank you, but as a citizen of this county and as a patriotic American, I tell you that you should be ashamed of yourselves, those of you who have made this shenanigan occur. Under the leadership of Michael Kaplinka-Lair, you brought shame on the citizens of this county, and those of you who supported this farce should look into your hearts and reconsider what you're about. I ask you, what is wrong with Leslyn McBean Claiborne? Nothing has ever been said on that score, and if you have a reason for shoving her aside, please state it publicly and now. What has she done wrong? It seems to me that she's done a pretty good job, and I speak as someone from the other party. If you don't have such a reason, you owe her and the citizens of this county an apology, and this board needs a new chair.
Anyone else wish to speak under privilege of the floor of the public? You don't have to have signed up in advance if you have a few words. If not, we will move to privilege of the floor for legislators. I'll start with Frank Proto with the Youth Award.
Thank you, Mike. Could I ask the following individuals to join me here? Dylan Hollenbeck, Dustin Hollenbeck, Matt Leyu, Adam Branford. Did Nick Hubble and Justin McNeil come in? Okay. Which one are you?
Nick is the redneck.
Nick? And Susan Eschbach. Did Susan? She's not here. Okay. Thank you very much. I want to, on the theme of youth, and also this is for the Distinguished Youth Award presentation, in that vein, and also considering the outreach and the breaking down of stereotypes and barriers that some of us in this room, all of us in this room, have been involved with from time to time, I think this is an opportunity to thank these folks for what they've done to try to reach out into our county community. And I'd like to describe the article and also read you some of the letter that Ms. Eschbach submitted on their behalf. And you'll get the point rather quickly. Every quarter, and this is a quote, every quarter Boynton students, these gentlemen are all from Boynton Middle School. And I'll give them a chance to have their 5 minutes of fame in just a minute. Every quarter Boynton students explore a theme that brings together the diverse community of students to discuss a common topic. The farming theme kicked off this year, and students learned about farms and the life of farmers and had the chance to listen to six students discuss their lives on the farm. These students displayed a number of things, and I'll get into that in just a second. The yearly theme idea came from a committee of four faculty members who ran programs on diversity in prior years. Ms. Eschbach is, as I understand it, a health teacher at Boynton, is that correct? I'm sorry that she isn't here tonight, because she should also be taking a bow. This was a project that's being carried on throughout the year. Let me continue. This is a quote from her. "I think it's important for students to have every opportunity to see their connections to other people as well as their differences to other people and have all of that honored," Eschbach said. "We are living in a pluralistic society, and in order for students to succeed in this society, they need to have the skills to drive their interest in diversity." It's important. Now, this is a quote from Mr. Hubble, which I thought was rather telling. "It's important to hang out with a diverse group of people," Hubble said. "After all, it would be boring to hang out with people just like yourself every day." Some of us can relate to that around this table. Right? Okay, let me highlight the letter that Susan sent. "The following 8th grade Boynton Middle School students are the group that are being presented for the Distinguished Youth Award. And I'm going to mess this up. I'll do my best. Dylan Hollenbeck, Dustin Hollenbeck is here. Sorry. Justin, you just came in. Nick just, I told you I would do that. Nick Hubble, Adam, and Matt Leu. Boynton is presenting quarterly themes with the hopes of continuing to unify the community of the school in ways that each student can find themselves represented, affirmed, and engaged. During the first quarter of the 2008-2009 school year, the unifying theme was farming. There was a host of activities and displays to teach the student body that farming is a vital part of our community and includes people from all walks of life. This group of boys are all related to farming. They met with two teachers during many lunch periods to brainstorm and then plan their involvement. They decided they wanted to teach the school about their lives outside of the school day, and throughout the quarter they took about 50 photos of their lives on farms, scanned, printed, and displayed the photos, read announcements over the loudspeaker with interesting farm facts, brought in harvested hay, 3 different cuts, oats, corn, 2 kinds, feed, and silage, and developed labels for each. I noticed there's a particular item that's missing. Some of us use it on the rose bushes, but and some of us have a lot of it, too. Spent 2 days in the school library demonstrating to the rest of the school what the names, usage, acreage, yields, and nutritional values of these grains were. Answered many questions, including those developed by teachers for math lessons, such as cost per acre, yield per acre, and so on. Demonstrated tractor mechanics schools. They visited Beverly J. Martin Elementary School and gave their demonstration, answering many questions for 5th graders and then 4th and 3rd graders in the after-school program. Researched the nutritional value of venison and made a poster for the cafeteria. Participated in the venison tasting day, helping their family members who added to the feast. The school benefited from their commitment to sharing and making visible the work of the Boynton community members who feed us. They work together with each other and staff to actualize their ideas for the education of us all." And this is the final item, and this also appeared. Bulletin boards were placed around the school that allowed students to notice that there are black farmers, white farmers, Asian farmers, Latino farmers, gay farmers, a handicapped farmer, kid farmers, and family farmers in our community. And with the with today's events at a national level and the historic significance of it, I think the opportunity to thank these young men for the type of outreach they're doing here just highlights what we've all been participating in some regard, certainly today. And I'd like to present these gentlemen to you. Would any of you or all of you like to say something? Go ahead.
All right, Nick.
Well, tell us where you're from.
Okay, I'm Nick, and I'm from Enfield. And Dr. Esch came up to me in the beginning of the year, and she said, "We're doing the student or the each quarter we're doing a different thing." And she said, well, what do you think about the farming thing? And I said, yeah, it'd be a good idea. And so we met at lunch, and we got a bunch of ideas together. And Mr. Harrington also, my social studies teacher, he was helping with it. And so basically we just made a bunch of posters and took pictures and brought in different things to show. And we went to BJM, and kids at BJM really liked it. They thought it was really cool. A lot of them didn't know what different tractors looked like and different nutritional values of hay and grain and all that kind of stuff. So it was pretty cool.
Thank you.
Well, I guess not. Okay. Distinguished Youth Award winners. And we have an award for each of you. These are plaques that are given to us and contributed to by the community. It says, Tompkins County Distinguished Youth Award presented to Matt Leu in recognition of your outstanding commitment to your community, January 2009. And this award is sponsored by Bangs Ambulance, Tompkins County Legislature, Cougar Radio Group, Purity Ice Cream, and A&B Awards and Engraving. And we have a plaque with each of your names on it. So, Matt. Dylan.
No.
Oh, this one's not you. Adam. Will you be sitting? Well, we'll get her.
No. They can give it to him. No, they can give it to him.
Can you trust him that far? Now, there's more stuff. From Bangs Ambulance Service, there's also t-shirts here, and there's a gift certificate to Purity Ice Cream. If you don't like it, let your folks enjoy it. That's for you. Thank you, Rehab. And
our most recent distinguished
Okay.
Congratulations again. Are there any other legislators who wish to speak under privilege of the floor? Martha, then Jim?
I won't wax eloquent at all. There's like, just go online or go look at YouTube, whatever. There's, look at the paper. There's lots of great stuff about what happened today. It was just really thrilling and exciting. A couple of pieces of business, though. The Environmental Management Council is in need of new members. They have vacancies for a lot of seats, actually. Representatives of the general public can be from any part of the county, as well as specifically from the towns of Danby, Groton, and Ithaca, the villages of Freeville and Trumansburg, and the city of Ithaca. They meet on Wednesday evenings, the second Wednesday of the month, 7 o'clock, at the Transit Center on Willow Avenue, Ithaca. And if you have any questions, please call the Planning Department, 274-5560. Deadline for applications is February 13th. It's really important to have a full complement of people at the EMC representing all different parts of the county. And tomorrow there's a very important meeting. Will be held at the Women's Community Building. This has changed from the Crawford Extension. They moved to the Women's Community Building for a presentation on New York State's budget, sponsored by the Human Services Coalition. Ron Deutsch of New Yorkers for Fiscal Fairness will speak about the proposed cuts to services in the executive budget and alternative revenue-raising options the state could use to balance its budget in a more progressive fashion. Human Services Coalition does this presentation, or sponsors this presentation every year, and it's very informative. You learn like in one fell swoop a tremendous amount about the state budget. So 10 o'clock to noon at the Women's Community Building tomorrow. And finally, the U.S. Airways article, the U.S. Airways In-Flight magazine that we talked about, the article that they're having on Ithaca, And in February, we've talked about that before, it turns out they we were told the minimum would be 8 pages, the maximum would be 14 pages, depending upon the advice from institutions, businesses in Tompkins County. Turns out they're playing a 13-page spread on Ithaca and Tompkins County, not just Ithaca, for the February issue. So if you have any excuse to fly in February, try to go on U.S. Airways and you'll get a magazine. But we'll also have, there will also be a press conference, and we'll have reprints of the whole article that people can get for PR purposes and especially for legislators.
Thanks,
so
Martha.
That's just good news about that.
Thanks, Martha. Jim, then Dooley.
I'm not going to wax anyway. I wanted to mention that Shinova, who was in the front of the room in the mentor program, is also an employee of HR and was very instrumental in the United Way drive that went on during the county over the last few months. So she's a great example of two things, a really good worker for us and the ability to go out and help other people in the community. The only thing I would say about today, from my point of view, being one of the older people here, the first person I voted for was Jack Kennedy, and obviously I voted for President Obama with a bunch of Democrats in between, some of whom won, some of who didn't. He seems to be a person, the right person at the right time, and I'm really hoping that all the goodwill that seemed to be in view today and over the past few days continues on, and as a very small elected official, knowing full well what politicians do when they get an opportunity, I'm hoping the level of discourse will remain high in D.C. because we have many problems in the country and we need all the help we can get from both sides of the aisle.
Thank you, Jim. Dooley, then Carol.
I have a couple of public service type announcements, too. I'm amazed that I beat Frank to this one. Cell phone numbers go public next month. All cell phone numbers are being released to telemarketing companies, and you'll start to receive calls. To prevent this, there is a number you can call. You have to call this number from the cell phone that you want to have removed from telemarketing calls, and the number is 888-382-1222. I think it's a good idea to call.
Julie, can you repeat that, please?
I will. 888-382-1222. And another meeting that Martha didn't get to. According to the meeting notice of the City Planning and Economic Development Committee, there's going to be a public information meeting on a Stewart Park rehabilitation plan. And the meeting is going to be Thursday, January 22nd at 6:30 at the County Library Borg Warner Room. There have been various groups working on various ideas for Stewart Park, and Rick Manning is pulling all this together, and the different groups will have brief periods to present their ideas, and I gather there will be some time for discussion and questions. So if you care about Stewart Park, this might be a fun thing to do. And lastly, I have a statement I want to read. I plan tonight to renew my motion to reconsider the January 6th vote for chair of the legislature. I'm glad Janice Kelly is still here because I will get to what she's concerned about. I'm going to renew my motion tonight even though not all the legislators are present, because by rule, a reconsideration motion can only be made at the meeting when the vote is taken or at the next meeting. For me, tonight is that next meeting because the special meeting that Mike had called for January 15th could only deal with any specific motion or resolution contained in the call to that meeting, and there was none included in his call to that meeting. To me, it's very important to get clear what the problem before us is and has been. It has never really been about vice chair, but about chair, specifically about another year having Mike as our chair. At the January 6th organizational meeting of the legislature, we were all treated to our chair demonstrating supposed confusion, which manifested itself during our votes for vice chair. To the public, it must have seemed incomprehensible. To at least one viewer whose letter was published in the Ithaca Journal on January 14th, Mike's reliance on, quote, secret information whose content or source he was unwilling to reveal, unquote, suggested that Mike was, quote, following a hidden agenda and could not be trusted, unquote. And that writer called on Mike to resign. To me, it was another in a series of surprises and missteps and manipulations that occurred during his 2008 chairmanship, but the first to be so public since the others were all dealt with and cleaned up within-house, within the county organization. I take no pleasure in saying this, especially on this celebratory day, this January 20th inauguration, when there is such great hope of a new national coming together. This may seem inappropriate, but I need to explain to my constituents and to the public the context for why, back on January 6th, I moved to reconsider my vote for Mike as chair and why I want to make that motion again tonight. First of all, I never wanted to have Mike serve another term, and Mike has known of my unhappiness with various of his actions. Sadly, I've lost confidence and trust in him. I think I'm not alone in that, but I'm only speaking for myself. After much off-record discussion in January and before that in December, eventually Mike agreed to vote for what I would consider a 2009 Democratic ticket, which would leave him as chair and which would support Martha Robertson as vice chair. I agreed to this arrangement because it would allow Mike to save face while at the same time allowing someone who has the time and energy to be on hand and keep an eye on things and be our early warning system to also be a part of the 2009 leadership team. I need to note that this has never been a criticism of Leslin as vice chair. She has filled that role of vice chair for 3 years. She is a very competent but extremely busy woman with many non-legislative responsibilities. And Martha never wanted to be vice chair, per se. In my opinion, Martha could do the job of chair well, and I would certainly have supported her challenging Mike, but that's not where we got to. Prior to January 6th, Mike had assured me he would be voting for Martha for vice chair. When he broke his word on January 6th by voting for Leslin, Mike announced the vote as 7-8, and this was followed by just dead silence. Mike never completed the chair's duty of announcing what those numbers meant, namely that Leslin was now vice chair of the legislature. And without that statement, the vote was incomplete and therefore can be considered erroneous. Into that silence, that stunned silence, I moved to ask to reconsider my vote for chair. Someone asked for a recess, and upon assent of the group, Mike called a recess. Now, it should come as no surprise to staff or members of the public that members of the legislature regularly meet in political party caucuses. Caucus is not a dirty word. All political parties make use of it. And today's Ithaca Journal had an article addressing caucuses. Caucuses provide time for informal consultation and frank discussion. And they're recognized in New York State law as being exempt from the open meetings law precisely to allow such discussion. And incidentally, this actually saves legislative meeting time. Because caucus matters are generally considered confidential, I will not and I have not breached that confidentiality, so I'm speaking only for myself tonight. After the recess during the January 6th meeting, where Mike called for and held a revote for vice chair, he reported the numbers and then said that Martha Robertson is now vice chair, thereby completing the chair's duty in conducting an election. In my opinion, that vote legally stands. With respect to the January 15th special meeting of the legislature that Mike hurriedly called, it was clear that he planned no action other than to issue a statement putting his best spin on what he had done publicly on January 6th. In that statement, he pleaded that he was under extreme political pressure, that he had made an error, and that his otherwise fine public record should be taken into account. But any pressure Mike felt was of his own making from breaking his word. And from my knowledge, this was not the first such error in his public life, just an obvious one and a very public one. So today, when I move later in the meeting to reconsider the vote for chair, that motion will need to be seconded. And if it's seconded, and a majority of the legislature, that's eight people, would vote to allow reconsideration, it will go forward. If those things don't happen, it won't. But I wanted to make my position clear, and thank you for your patience and consideration.
Thank you, Dooley. On to Carol, then Will, then Nathan.
Can I just pass for a minute?
Sure. Will Burbank?
Back to me?
Sure.
Thank you, Mike. I guess I would like to wax philosophic, not to undercut Dooley's concerns, which I think are real and sincere, and I think we will be addressing. But I'm also aware that this is an extraordinary day in our country, in our world, and I am thrilled to have been part of it, just very peripherally being watching it on television, and the thrill of the first African American being sworn in as our president. I am aware that many Ithacans, including our good colleague Leslyn McBean Claiborne, are down in Washington, shivering in the cold and bearing witness to this historic event. And I thank all of them for being there. And I also really want to invite all of us to join in the celebration of this moment that truly transcends the partisan divisions that I think typically push us apart. Yes, there was an election. Yes, there was competition. Yes, one party won, one party lost. But this truly was an amazing event that I think has the potential to bring us all together. And I truly am hopeful that that will happen nationally and locally. And I have to say, as I was thinking about coming tonight, it seemed that what we do at the local level seemed almost inconsequential compared to what was happening out there. And then I realized that, no, actually, the democratic process happens at all levels. And what we are doing is critically important. And I thank all of us for coming and trying to pursue in the positive spirit that I think was exemplified today. Thank you, Mike.
Thank you, Will. I have Nathan, then Mike Sigler, then Carol.
Yeah, first I wanted to apologize that I wasn't able to make this special meeting that happened last Thursday. As many of you know, I was at Weill Medical Center for a symposium for my graduate program. And interestingly enough, actually, what happened on that Thursday afternoon, was when that plane hit the Hudson. And I was at Weill Medical Center as that was happening, and the moment it happened, I mean, gosh, to see the medical staff, I mean, you know, suddenly beepers went off and everybody was on standby, ready to receive, injured or injured people, and you know, thankfully that everyone survived, and that it was okay. But it was really remarkable to see hospitals, and I know if a disaster happened in Cayuga Medical Center or anywhere else that in our country, I mean, we have responsive healthcare. You know, it may not be affordable, but it's definitely responsive. And so that was great to see firsthand in New York City while I was there. I just wanted to echo Will's sentiments about this momentous day. And also, in terms of what Dooley said, while I understand the desire for a motion to reconsider, and I know I should be talking about the motion to reconsider if there is a motion to reconsider, but I just want to say that given my position, I had written a letter to you, Mr. Chair, saying that that I didn't believe we should take action on voting for chair unless all members were present. And definitely I still believe in that. And given that Leslyn and Kathy aren't here, I will not support a motion to reconsider at this time. However, I still think that we do need to call a special meeting, And I think we need to do just as you had suggested, you know, suspend the rules, do a revote on both positions to have more definitive clarity on what's happened. And so that's what I think we should do, and therefore I will not support a motion to reconsider at this time.
Mike Ziegler, then Carol, then Martha again.
I'm just going to pass, Mike. Thank you.
Carol, then Martha.
I don't know if I'm going to wax eloquent, but I wanted but I heard somebody on the radio today waxing eloquent, so I'm going to try to tell you about that a little bit. You know, I try to look for the connections, to talk about what's happening on the national scene, where I see a connection to what we do locally. Not just to, in isolation, talk about the national scene, but where it connects. And I heard this is sort of in light of, and I'm glad Tim Ashmore came into the room, because this is in light of the conversation that we seem to be having here and publicly about caucuses and the role that they play. I heard Bob Moses, the famous civil rights organizer, along with Fannie Lou Hamer, organizer of the Freedom Summer, who went on to become a MacArthur genius and is now well known for his algebra project, in which he's trying to bring math education to groups that haven't traditionally had that. I heard him and Alice Walker on the radio today as commentators on the inauguration. And he was listening to first a commentary by Martin Luther King about, was interviewed by BBC at the time, about when we might see our first black president. And he was saying it could happen by the turn of the century. And Bob Moses commented in particular, and then kept referring back to this comment through the rest of the morning, the ways in which his sense that getting representation and bringing the civil rights issue to Democratic caucuses, in this case Democratic, but you know, it could be any issue to any caucus, but to be bringing a minority issue to caucus and to what is this, in essence the national caucus, the convention, was key to building the ability to bring that issue to the political process, to paving the way to the expectation that our democracy was one in which everybody was represented. And he referred to the time in 1964 and then in 1968 and the difficulty in breaking into that process, and just kept referring back to the caucus process as being key to a place that you can bring new positions to think through and to strategize. So I just thought that was an interesting commentary and thought as I, for myself, think through what should be the role and do we want to affirm that, and why has New York State and our country affirmed that at all levels, that process.
Thanks, Carol. I have Martha, then Frank.
I would like to follow up on what Nathan said, and I've been thinking that we would get a message perhaps from Kathy looking for a time when we could have a meeting when all 15 of us could be there, and haven't seen that yet, so I guess I would respectfully ask whether that could happen, just send a message out, pick three or four times that avoid other meetings that we know about, and Meeting Wizard is a good way to set up that kind of a meeting. I understand that at least one of our members knows already that they'll be absent at the next regular meeting, so I hope that we can do something sooner than 4 weeks from now, because of course we don't know if somebody will be absent at that one. I think this is an important issue to reconsider chair and vice chair, and I would ask that that you see if we could make that happen sooner than later. Thank you.
Frank Proto.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. A couple of items on a comment on what Martha was just asking. If indeed there is a special meeting set up, will you guide us on how we are to proceed with committee assignments as well as conducting county government business over the next period of time, if that item prevails, because we still have day-to-day business that we have to get done in this county and can't be distracted too much by this issue, as important as it is. Secondly, I'd like to announce also that this Thursday, the Community Science Institute that we awarded a three-year grant to is honoring volunteers for the stream monitoring that they've been doing in the county. And some of us have been asked to attend, and I, for one. But I think it's wise to recognize that there's something like 80 to 90 volunteers in seven groups that are blanketing the county doing work that we could not, with all due respect to the planning department, we could probably never afford to do this monetarily, and it's been a real help, and hopefully will continue to be. The last item I'd like to mention is it can't go unnoticed that today certainly is an historic day. And if any of you, as I was fortunate enough to be able to watch the whole proceeding, and except for the parade, but you couldn't help but be moved by what was being said and what President Obama reported on and his sincere comments. I think all of us wish him well, and he is our president, and we'll keep an eye on things for years. I hope he is as successful as his speech implied he would like to be. And I also want to recognize that he wasn't shy about recognizing the military, which was quite well received by some of us.
Thank you, Frank. Mike Sigwood.
I kind of regret bringing this up, but if this happened to somebody, I'd feel bad. It was mentioned earlier that cell phone numbers would be released. I'm going to have to check into that, because that was a scam about 3 years ago. So I'm not really sure. And I checked it on Snopes. That's what I was working on. And they kind of go through it, like how it was a scam. So I just want to look into it, so just to make sure it's actually something that's going to happen.